Okay, last week we looked at the characteristic of love, and we concluded that's the basis of our Christian walk of life. What Jesus did on this earth, we should emulate, and he showed compassion and love for everyone. To those who weren't Jews, those who were Gentiles, those who were sinners, he offered love and compassion. And tonight we're going to look at the next virtue of faithfulness. So, who can define faithfulness? And
I found an answer. It said dependability, loyalty, and stability, particularly as it describes God and his relationship to human beliefs, believers. The faithfulness of God is a constant theme in the Bible.
very good. Anyone like to add to that? Okay, person.
Complete confidence.
Complete confidence.
I think Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's great. So a firm belief that, yeah. And we
And what
can't
does
see
that
it.
verse say to you?
What's that?
What does that verse say to you?
That my faith has the assurance of making it to heaven, hopefully. I mean, at least have a conversation with Jesus
Sure.
to tell me whether or not you're in or you're out or, convictions, I think, is just like your everyday life, I guess.
When we have faith in something, what are we doing? We're putting up a total trust and hope into things we haven't seen. That's what the verse says. We are basing our belief on what Jesus had shared with us in the Bible. We haven't seen Jesus. We haven't been around his teachings, but yet we believe. And when you look at faith, as Di was saying, first go to our Heavenly Father. God's perfect loyalty and consistency in being true to his name, his character, and his word. That's the theme throughout the Bible. God cares for his creation. That's you and I. And a definition of faithfulness or faith is a Christian's faithfulness means maintaining faith or allegiance. Showing a strong sense of duty or consciousness, being full of faith and trust. Oh, and I found that on in the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. And as Christian was saying, here's the Bible definition. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And the conviction of things not seen. Think back to what happened when Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples without Thomas. Thomas joined him and said, "I don't believe you guys that Jesus is here." Then short time after, what happened? Jesus appeared again and he said, "Hey, put your hand. Finger my wound. Put your hand in my side." He believed. But yet Jesus said to them and says, "You believe because you have seen, but it's going to be many others who follow will not have that same opportunity." But that's what our faith does for you and I. We also notice that faith is trusting in all that God is and speaks. And how do we learn that? By a reading of the Bible, by studying His Word. This is what He has given you and I. He communicated through the Holy Spirit, through inspired men, the written Word. We should trust that Word. Another part of our faith is our obedience to all that God commands. That's just not cherry picking on the items that you want to, you feel comfortable with, but all that God had commanded. And that's when we search scriptures. That's when we study what God gives to you and I. The third item of faith is the confidence we have in God's promises. What did God promise to Abraham?
Children as many as the stars in the heavens or the seas.
Exactly. And did Abraham have any kids at that time?
No.
No way. But he had faith in what God said. He had confidence in God's word. What about you? How do you feel when you read something in the scriptures? We have to have confidence. And that confidence we build up. We grow with it. And finally, we have a hope for something. And as Christian said, that hope is heaven. It's eternal life. God promised that. And by with God's grace and mercy, we could obtain that. Anybody on Zoom want to add anything to our definition of faithfulness or faith? You don't feel bad to interrupt me when I'm talking, and we'll just stop, and you could make your comments then. Okay, so with that, faith is huge. And when I looked at this particular characteristic or virtue, as you said, the writer of the Hebrew letter nails it down in the 11th chapter. He gives us, as some people call it, the Hall of Fame of Faith. All those individuals who were characters in the Old Testament who had faith. When we look at Jesus, we should emulate what he has given to us. And we should be thankful. And when you look at one of these virtues we're going to talk about, or characteristics that we're going to talk about, prayer, we're going to include our gratefulness, our thanksgiving to God for all he has given us. When you look at these characteristics, they're all intertwined. In fact, when you look at how we apply these to our spiritual growth and how we display them to others, we use these virtues by being kind, by being gracious, by being loving. But also, we as Christians have to be faithful. Faithful to God. So with that, let us share some verses in the Bible concerning faithfulness. Who would like to start? Lee?
Well, my first one is, God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Very good. Anybody else have Want to add? Hey.
Psalms 40:10, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation.
Thank you. That's David talking to his God. Anybody else have one?
I have one.
Diane?
Psalms 36:5, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the skies.
Very good. That's an excellent verse. Adin?
Yeah, I'm over in 1 Kings chapter 8, and the word faithfulness isn't used there, but it's defined there. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. So when faithfulness, like when we're talking about God, it's that knowing that what he says is going to happen.
Exactly. And God's true to his word in everything he does. And we, as his children, should put our total trust in what God says to us. Babe.
Titus, Paul writes to Titus in the first chapter, in the second verse, he says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. So that's what our faith is. We hope. And because God can't lie, he promised it. We believe him.
Exactly.
He can't lie.
Just think of the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse. It says, faith, hope, and love. Faith will eventually be gone when we get to heaven, because we'll be there. That's hope, that we seek eternal life and be with God, will be fulfilled. But love will be there. It's constant. And our faithfulness in God is displayed by the way we act, the way we present ourselves, not as a show, but the way we display our Christian characteristics to the world. I put this verse down, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Knowing therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. So we have a responsibility, and that is to love God. And we talked about love last week. More important, we have to keep his commandments. Not just the commandments that you like, not just the commandments that suit you at the time, but all of his commandments. Because each and every one of us will be standing before the judgment seat of God and will be accountable for everything we did. All of those deeds. And he has the record. He's all-knowing. He knows that. Paul explains to the saints at Rome, he says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Because why? Your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. That's a pretty powerful verse. Can he say that about the Church of Colebrook Road? Are we wishy-washy in our service to the Lord? Do we shy away from things? Or we boldly go and proclaim God's message, even when it hurts us, even when it's unpleasant? We have to stand up for Christ. And these saints in the first century at Rome were doing that. Their faith was proclaimed throughout the whole world. That's where we have to get to in our Christian walk of life, where people will recognize each and every one of us as faithful to God in all that we do. That's so important, to show the world who needs God what our faith is.
Lenny?
In
Galatians 5:22, faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Exactly.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith.
Very good verse. And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it combines all those virtues into one. So when we study and we're breaking these individual characteristics up so that we can understand what they are, but they all are integrated in one. As Paul had shared with the Galatians. Thank you very much, Anne, for that. I appreciate that. Okay, does anybody else have any other verses to share? Okay,
I have one in Revelations, but I don't. It's 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Was he just talking about you're going to be tested every day, so keep your faith looking forward?
We as Christians should mirror that. That was directed to that church, to be faithful. And that's what we should be doing all the time, being faithful. That's important, no matter. And Satan's going to use whatever he can to pull us away. And by pulling you away, he's going to steal that faithful desire to worship God. So we have to be on our guard all the time. And that's a good verse to bring up. Anybody else have any other verses? Billy.
Not verses, but incidents. When Hezekiah prays to God, God destroyed a mighty host. He knew he was doomed if God didn't intervene.
Mm-hmm.
And another incident, Gideon. And a tiny group of people defeated a mighty force just by the power of God's hand. He had the faith to go against thousands and thousands with 200 men and do what God said, and they prevailed.
And why? God was on his side. Exactly. He trusted Jehovah. And when we look at the Old Testament, what does the Old Testament do for you and I?
It teaches us God's faithfulness, how God feels about things. It's our heritage.
What else does it do? It leads us to Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. That's important to remember. We use the Old Testament, and we're very fortunate living in this time because we have the written word. Back in the day, they didn't have it. They just had people talking about it. People reading letters to other people, but they didn't have the total picture as we do. And it's important for us to rely on God's word so that our faith will be unshaken. That's important. Good point, bringing up the Old Testament. Okay, let's provide an example of someone who exhibited faithfulness in the Old Testament. Who has a character?
Well, I have Abraham in three ways.
Okay.
Abraham is like us. God came to him and told him to leave what you know and go to a new place.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was waiting on the promise of his son, he had to wait past the time when we thought he thought that it should have happened. So he had to be faithful there. And then the last one, he had to offer all that God had given him by his offering his son on the cross. And if you truly love God, you will offer everything that you have.
Exactly. And that's what he did in Genesis chapter 21. He offered his son, Billy.
Joseph, he was sold into slavery by his brothers in a completely foreign culture and country with no other Jews around.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept his faith all those years until his family came to him.
And he still kept his faith.
He saved the nation of Israel.
Absolutely. Very good. Anybody else? Dean and then Faye.
So I try to pick abstract because, you know, we can always go with the easy ones. But this is a definition of an individual. I'm in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 7. And I'll just read verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 is what I had written down. Then it was, when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanai and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God in many things. So it's just a description of another person that was rewarded with a position because of his faithfulness to God and trusted.
Very good. Hey.
Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've always liked them. They said
they were faithful. Absolutely.
Our God will make sure that we're fine. And the people who threw them into the furnace died. From just the heat on the outside. They were thrown into the inside, and there they were.
Oh, very good. Anybody? Bill? Bob, sorry.
We read about Enoch in Genesis 5, but in the Hebrews 11 and 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anybody else? Hey.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this, I thought of Moses and Abraham and Joseph and Job. But somebody else that came to mind was, I thought of the mother of Moses and the faith that she had when she sent him in the river away in the basket. The faith that she had that he would be safe and that he would escape. And, I mean, yes, the sister followed to make sure that he stayed safe and to watch where he went. But just the faith that Moses' mother had in God and in doing that, just...
That's an excellent example how one's faith and trust in the Lord is something that displayed. And we just read a little sections of that in the Old Testament. But apply that to your life. That's a very good point. I put down a guy named Joshua. And he's talking to the children of Israel. He said in verse 14 of chapter 24, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. That's what God expects, to serve him totally. Put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. If this is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose to yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is so powerful. In fact, it resonates in my mind, as a servant who is faithful, a servant who is loyal, a servant who is trustworthy, a servant who puts God first. And this is the type of attitude that each and every one of us should display in our Christian walk of life. No matter what the world throws at us, what Satan uses to pull us away, but he expects us to be faithful, be trusting in God's word. And God's word is true. Whatever God says, it's going to happen. Believe. Did that happen to the children of Israel? And we look at their history? No. They decided to do it their way. Was it the right way? It wasn't. It's not God's way. And that's the point of being faithful to God, putting him first. Anybody else, anybody from home have a verse to share?
No. Already done them.
Okay. Did it. Okay, what about some examples in the New Testament? Okay, Lee.
Lydia was who I picked.
Lydia is a good example. Go ahead, explain that.
Yeah, she was the first. Well, let's see. It's like deeper writing here. Paul's first comment was that she was the first convert in his teaching. And she was a seller of purple. She was quite a well-to-do lady because she had service. Or the church was met in her house.
Uh-huh.
And she was very faithful. She said, "If you find me faithful, then welcome in my home." And she was very, very faithful and loyal to and blessed by all. And that's Acts 16, verse 40.
Very good. Very good example. In fact, to elaborate or expand upon that, where did Paul meet Lydia?
By the river.
So. At the river.
Yeah.
And why was she at the river?
Well, the other were women were with her.
Right.
And that's where they worshiped. That's where they sang songs, they gathered together.
That town didn't have a synagogue.
Correct.
So they were still worshiping God and putting him first. And Paul took that opportunity to share the gospel. We have to follow his example, to take every opportunity that presents itself to us to share God's word. And we don't have to be a great orator. I know I'm certainly not. I don't use the $2 words as other people do. However, we could convey the message of the gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to all. Very good verse to use. Anybody else have one? Faith.
I have one, Lenny.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
In 1 Thessalonians, Paul is in the first chapter is talking to the Thessalonians, and in the third verse he says, "You're constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor, love, steadfastness, hope in our Jesus Christ, in Jesus our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God the Father."
Very good.
He's commending them because they do have faith.
Exactly. And that's so powerful to be recognized for your faith. And that's something that the world should look upon us about our faith. That you stand for Christ. Very good. And Faye, did you have a comment?
Yeah, all backwards.
One that's always mystifying me is Peter and Andrew, James and John, when Jesus walked up to them and said, "Follow me," the way they went.
Yeah, yeah, that's very good. Very good.
That was kind of what I had. I had all of the apostles because they were all willing to follow Jesus and into unknown territory and not knowing what they were going to face but they were right there to follow him all the time, the same people, except for Judas.
In fact, that would frighten me if I had a job and I'm working And someone came, hey, I got something better, follow me.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, but yet they did. Ted.
Along those lines, Matthew. I mean, he was a tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a man who, you know, was probably protected by the Roman guard because he was collecting taxes from the Jews. And Jesus walked by while he's collecting taxes and said, follow me. He abandons all of his wealth, everything he kept getting from having that position of authority, and just gave it up, walked away from it, knowing that, you know, he's not going to be accepted by a lot of these men because he his position. Knowing that he's probably going to be rejected by a lot of people because they know him as a tax collector, but still, he did it. He walked away from it.
Exactly. And that could happen to us in our way, in our careers, in our interaction with other people. We put God first. That's what this is all about, our faith. Putting our trust, putting our hope in what God says. Okay, anybody else have a character in the New Testament? Bill?
Stephen.
Stephen, you have to explain.
He was said he was full of grace and power and wrought signs and wonders among the people. He was taken into the court of the Jews. He recited the history of Israel faithfully until they gnashed their teeth at him and wouldn't listen anymore. And then he looked up into heaven and he could see what was there. God gave him that because of his faith. And then he was stoned to death and he's faithful till the end. And asked that God lay not that sin to their account.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good example. Carol?
I've got two. The obvious ones. Jesus,
yeah.
Who was faithful the whole time, and then in the garden says, not my will, but thy will. So even he was faithful to God because he knew God would be faithful to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul, all of the things that happened to on his journey, the trials that the roadblocks that were put up, and the fact that he wanted to go here, but God said, don't go there. He's just really a strong one in the faith and a great example.
That's a great example for us to follow in his footsteps, even though when he was Saul, what was he doing? He was trying to destroy the church. Once he confessed Jesus as his Lord, he stood up for Christ no matter what the cost was. And it was pretty heavy to him. Even his own countrymen were trying to kill him. That's amazing when you look at his life. Anybody else have one? Kirsten in need.
I had the Canaanite woman that approached Jesus with his daughter. The apostles didn't want her around. They kept shooing her away and couldn't believe that he was talking to her. But she's an outsider trying to find Jesus and hoping that he would help his daughter. And I love that he was like, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and began bowing down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And her answer, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
Yep.
And that right there, just, he's like, oh, woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish.
Mm-hmm.
And so her response to him was just, you know, like, well, I accept your word. You know, I mean, I just thought that was pretty cool for her faith to travel that far.
Sure.
You know?
Even
perseverance.
Yeah.
Her perseverance.
Yeah. Save that one example for perseverance when we get to. But when you look at what Jesus did for them, for that individual, their faith was so powerful it moved Jesus. Dean.
Well, I just thought of over in Ephesians chapter 6,
And then also over in Colossians 4:9, Paul mentions two different individuals in Ephesians, and I'll butcher these names, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, and then over in Colossians 4:9, Onesimus. But he mentions these individuals, and, you know, like we've had some really good examples of prominent characters in the Bible, and here we're given a name. There's this name, and he's identified as a faithful minister, and that's it. And the lesson, I guess, when I was studying this that I took away from that is we don't have to have a lot of accolades and a lot of praise and a lot of people oohing and on over us to be a faithful servant of God.
Exactly.
We do that even though there's not books in the Bible written about us.
Mm-hmm. And when we look at those individuals that the Holy Spirit allowed these inspired men to share with us, it's just a snapshot in time of an individual. I'm sure we could, if we were living back in the day, we would have seen more and more things that Jesus had accomplished when he was here. I had one that I put down. When the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin and the council, the high priest said to them, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, the name of Jesus, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood on us." And Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." That verse is so powerful. It should be indelved upon your mind. This is how individuals put God first in their lives. Obey God rather than men. In fact, I remember the first time I had to give a talk, I totally messed this verse up. I had 5 pages of notes, figured, oh yeah, this should last at least 25 minutes. In 5 minutes, I was done. So many of this. But the point was, this drives us home as far as what our faith is, to obey God, trust in his word, do his will. That's our job, to be faithful. Now, let's turn to the last two questions that are pretty intense. So how do Christians reflect the Christ-like attitude towards faithfulness? What do you think?
I had confidence, a mindset, being that you're thinking to remember that the faith, things can be bigger, greater, and your reward will be worth it,
mm-hmm.
as far as doing that. And then compassion, because God offers it in moments of uncertainty. And so Psalms 145:9, the Lord is good to all and his mercies are over all his works.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which gives you strength so that you can handle it during the tough, uncertain times when you're struggling in distress. I think we often think of having faith during the good times, but it's those moments of uncertainty or just when you're wavering that you need to dig deep.
Very good.
And so,
Lee?
I have down that having conviction based upon God and Christ, let us hold faith fast to the conviction upon our hopes, and that it's Hebrews 10. I can't read the rest of my writing.
Promises
of faithfulness. Of faithfulness.
Of faithfulness. Yeah. Very good. Andrew, you have something? I know you're searching your notes.
I have. What I wrote down, just, you know, following Christ's example, is just being having that being imitators of Christ. That's what I wrote down here, is like, that's how we reflect, like, the Christ-like attitude. If we imitate ourselves after God, after Christ,
very good,
then we should be able to, we'll show our faithfulness.
Exactly. In fact, when you look at what I've chosen, Christ-like attitude through faithfulness is by aligning our lives with Jesus' teachings, Jesus' examples. And don't forget, we just study the harmony of the Gospels. And what did we learn from the harmony? We learned about the life of Jesus. And when you dig into what he had done when he was here, you could see he was compassionate. He was humble. He was obedient. He served others. And that's what we should be doing. We should be cultivating humility in our lives. We should show obedience, engage in acts of compassion and service, which reflects upon the image of Jesus, as Andrew had put it. Well done. That's excellent. And that's what we're looking for, is how we as Christians should emulate Jesus in our lives. Carol.
When we have troubled times and things that are going on, to pray because we know that God will help us, but then being able to wait until God answers, or to accept the answer that he gave you that wasn't the answer that you wanted.
Exactly. God works on his own timeline, not our timeline. Whatever he says will happen when he decides, not us. And we are very impatient sometimes. I certainly am. But yet, we have to realize it's God's will, not our will. Faye, you had a comment, and then Bill.
Yeah, I was kind of going in a different direction, but Christ was faithful to God when he obeyed him by dying on the cross. So, because he believed God, he was his son. So in turn, we have to be faithful to Christ by dying to the world.
And we do die when we submit ourselves to baptism. We take the old self, put it off, and we emerge a new creature. And that new creature is somebody who's pure, who needs the word. We don't automatically come out of baptism and we know everything. We have to learn. We have to be guided. We have to be taught it on us. And we are taught till the day we die. I will be a student of the Bible till I breathe my last on this earth. I will never master everything that God had shared with me through his word. Because, for example, if I'm studying the book of Romans, I taught Romans many times. I read it again. How did I miss that? We have to ingrain our lives in study so that we could be approved of God. We should align our lives with God's word. We should live our lives with compassion and service. We should cultivate humility and obedience. And we should speak with grace and truth in all that we do. If you're joking around, that's not what Jesus expects. He wants you to have your grace be seasoned and speak in the truth. Faye, oh, sorry. I saw her hand go halfway up.
Lenny?
Yes, Ed.
Colossians 1 and 10 is a good verse for that, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Exactly. Good verse to quote. And it's a good verse to remember in our Christian walk of life. The world desperately needs to get right with God. And we have studied this in the book of Romans from chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20. Sin is in the world. And at one point in our lives, we were sinners until we obeyed the gospel. And the way of the Lord, the way of the world to get right with God is fully revealed in God's Son, in Jesus Christ. We are justified by Him dying on the cross for our sins. And we have to do something on our part, is to believe and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will find our faith as righteousness. And the believer in Christ is sanctified. That means he's set apart, free from sin, to eternal life, which is our hope we have in our faith, to be with Jesus and to be with God in heaven. And the believer or the church, not the children of Israel, is God's choice now to carry the gospel message to death, burial, and resurrection to the world. That's our jobs. That's your job, and it's my job to do. To share the message of the gospel to the best way we can to others. That's just a snapshot of what Romans is. And it helps us to focus that we were sinners just like the world was in sin. We changed, and it's up to you and I to share the way we changed with others to lead them back to Christ. Okay, getting to the last question. This is a difficult one. How do you grow in faithfulness and seek opportunities to demonstrate faithfulness to others? Ted.
I think this is one of those things where you live your life in mm-hmm. a way that people see you are different. And they're going to notice, trust me, they are, because you're different than the world. And when you show that life, you're going to show what Christ is like to the world.
Exactly.
They don't see that. It's a comment you'll hear every now and again from people that you may know well, or people who don't attend church very often, or who aren't very, very faithful. But when they notice something in you, they're going to say something about it because it's different from what they're seeing. It's different from everything else that happens to them in their lives.
Exactly. And you may be the only light they have, the only avenue they have to come to Christ. So we have to demonstrate or display our Christian virtue of faithfulness to them so that they can see what God expects. And the reward is so great, that's eternal life. Anybody else have anything? Dean?
Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, at the end of the chapter, verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to grow in faithfulness unless we grow in knowledge.
Exactly.
And we grow in that faith. And it's that faith that gives that hope. And we understand that the hope is not, when we look at hope and we think of wishing. Oh, I hope I win the lottery. No, that's wishing you win the lottery. That's wishing you'll get a promotion. This hope is an assurance. if you will. And if we live our lives, if we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord, then that's going to show. And I don't necessarily have to, I was looking at this question, and I was like, oh, am I going to be argumentative? Do I seek out ways for people to see that I'm faithful? Or am I faithful and steadfast, and people see that, like Ted was saying, you know, so it's kind of semantics on how we look at it. Look for opportunities to do good.
Exactly.
You know, Jesus said to people, you know, depart from me, I know you not. And they're like, but. And he said, no, you didn't do these things.
Exactly.
There are a lot of things that we have to do, and just sitting in the pew on Sunday morning isn't enough.
Very good. In fact, along those same lines, I'll get you in a second. Along those same lines, Paul says it better to me in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God, which is your spiritual service of worship to Him. Be transformed by renewing of your mind. And how do we do that? We dive into His Word. We study it. We understand what He expects. But more important, we put that into action in our lives. Nolan.
Well, looking at the single chapter in 3 John and the examples between Demetrius and Diotrephes, talking about who you should be like, going around and talking about the faith of your fellow members, it's something where you look around and emulate people that inspire you. Like I am still amazed at Carolyn Brown's faith at the end of her life. I have never seen something like that before. The only thing I've seen like that is I was in the hospital and I had a patient come in who was a Baptist. He came in stable and 10 hours later died. He was given a terrible prognosis. He was faithful from the get-go to the end. And the most amazing thing about it is those who I know who are not spiritual were inspired by his faith. The fact that he came in, they said, I've never seen somebody be so encouraged, so calm. He, as the patient, dying a miserable death, calmed and comforted the nurses who were unsure what to do. It was amazing.
That's amazing when you see life-changing situations that affect people around you. And that's what we as Christians should do. We should be that catalyst to inspire others to put their faith, their trust and hope in God.
Well, in that book, 3 John, right? Yeah, 3 John.
3 John,
it talks about how they're talking about their fellow members and their faith.
Exactly.
And he's saying, I've heard so many great things about you. He starts out talking about Gaius. I've heard so many great things about you. I'm so pleased to hear how strong your faith is. We should talk about those who are faithful and how inspiring they are. The examples we have in life are so much more applicable, I feel, than Bible characters can be. Because they're living today.
Well, yeah, they're surrounding you. You look at the faithful members we have here. That should be an encouragement to young Christians to emulate them in your lives. No matter what the cost is, look at those individuals and use them as an example. And when you share your faith with others, be honest about it. Be reliable. If you say, I'll be there at a certain time, be there at a certain time. If something hinders you, call and say, look, I've got to change this because this, this, and this, but you're committed to help that individual. Love and serve others, just as Jesus did. Go back to the Gospels and see how he not only shared the message that he was presenting, but he also shared his own life. Example we had last week that I put up on Lazarus. He wept. His friend died. And what did Martha tell them? You should have been here.
Yeah.
Jesus knew he could heal them, and he did. We should be sharing the gospel. That's our prime objective. Be a good listener to people. Build relationships to people in the world. Not hang out as their buddies and do things that are sinful, but yet build those relationships so that they could see Christ in you. Support the Lord's work. Regular assembly with the saints. And what that means is we meet here together to encourage each other, to admonish, to build each other up. That's important. And if you miss out on that, you're missing out on a section of your life that people could share with you who love you, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, does anybody have anything else to add? Anybody from Zoom? Okay, next week we are going to look at godliness. And I'm going slow because these virtues, these characteristics, are things in our lives that you and I have to display to the people in the world. Not show off, but actually live it as a Christian.